There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Ahead on NFL Live, he's back. Todd McShay is here with an
NFL
draft. Just keep showing up. Version 3.0 is out. At least one quarterback on a meteoric rise. And speaking of quarterbacks, the domino effect in full effect. When will we and what will we know about Tom Brady? And what's that ripple effect look like? And it's Super Tuesday, or in our case, Super Bowl Tuesday. Which team is one draft pick and one free agent away from Super Bowl contention? We'll tell you what we think. Hello, everybody, and happy to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Wendy Nix, Jeff Darlington, the Todd McShay.
Yeah, the.
Here we go.
The Todd McShay. Jeff Todd Saturday McShay is here. Adam Schefter will join us shortly, and so too will Mel Kiper Jr. However, let's start with this. Version 3.0, Todd McShay's newly released mock draft. Joe Burrow remains at the top, the projected number one overall pick, in this case, headed to the Cincinnati Bengals. At two, Tua off the board to the Dolphins. Actually, he's with the fifth pick. Tua still hoping to gain full medical clearance sometime in the next week or so. And just one pick later, and this is where it gets interesting, Utah State's Jordan Love, according to Todd, heading to the Chargers at six. We'll talk more about that. Finally, Justin Herbert, the last quarterback to go in the first round, to the Colts at 13, despite Jacoby Brissett, who is under contract for one more season. Perhaps we made a bit too much out of it. Not that we've been ever known to do that, but Joe Burrow did sort of sit the fence a little bit, Todd, in terms of playing in Cincinnati. Then he went to the combine, and I think he was very clear, I will play where I'm picked. So in that vein, is he cemented, in your opinion, with that top pick to the Bengals?
I think he's going to be the top pick, and I would say it's 95, 99, whatever percentage you want to put on this. Mm-hmm. But there are some teams that are still very interested in trying to work back channels to see if there's any chance that they can possibly bring Joe Burrow in and make him their guy. Miami Dolphins have a lot of picks in this draft. They have six in the top 70 overall. They've got three in the first round, two in the second round. They love Joe Burrow from everyone I've talked to that has any information on the Dolphins. But how do you get up there and how do you get that pick if since he's going to stay home at number one and take the quarterback that you want? So that's going to be the interesting aspect between now and the draft for the first overall pick. And then after that, it's a total mess because Detroit could move out at three. The Giants could move out at four. There are so many teams like the Chargers and Panthers and Raiders going all the way down to the Buccaneers, the Colts and Buccaneers at 13 and 14 that need a quarterback. So there's going to be movement like we usually see at the quarterback position.
Well, and that brings us to that number two spot, because the prevailing theory is that Chase Young goes to the Washington Redskins. Tua, of course, a lot of question marks about his health, but is he at all in play earlier than we might have thought?
I don't think he's in play at two. I really don't. And I if I was running the Redskins, I would think long and hard, depending on the medical. If I got a good medical clearance, if you will, from our staff, I would say let's take Tua and let's upgrade. Dwayne Haskins is got a chance to be a good quarterback, but he's not Tua Tagovailoa. And if I was running it, that's great. But I'm not, and Daniel Snyder is, and he owns the organization, and I don't think he's going to let that happen. So I think Chase Young's going to be the pick at two.
So two things. Respectfully disagree, because I'm with you, and I'm not coming from a overly informed place. But Ron Rivera, I can tell you, did have conversations with Daniel Snyder coming into the job before he even got it. It would surprise me, and this is where I'm kind of speculating.
Can I just clear this up? Yeah. Conversation saying I don't have to be married to Dwayne Haskins, do I have?
That's what I'm saying about the quarterback position, to the point where it would surprise me a guy that was as coveted as Ron Rivera would take that job while being restricted by Dan Snyder.
And I had a conversation with a coach who was in the running to be the head coach of the Redskins and had the same exact conversation. So that doesn't surprise me. I didn't talk to Ron about that, but somebody else. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
But to your point, I think that Todd hits on a perfect point. Without that medical clearance, no way do they touch him. But with it, I could see them considering it. Then again, it's so hard to believe at this stage of the game that it's nothing more than a little leverage to find out who's willing to move up for him.
Let me ask you this, Jeff, and again, all of these hypothetical, first and foremost, the health of Tua Tagovailoa, but if he were to be healthy, if he is healthy, and you had, say, a 10-year run, do you take Tua,
I take Chase Young.
Haskins.
I take Chase Young.
You take Chase Young.
I take a guy who can go chase that quarterback for the next 10 years, can catch the edge and do what you want to go do. You have a quarterback that you have last year. You don't know. I don't care what the medical reports say. You don't know what Tua's going to do, how healthy he's going to be. Is it for next year? You do know to a strong degree what Chase Young will do. And you've seen the way that Bosa affected the draft even last year, how impactful he was for the 49ers. Those guys, that's not just a stamp, right? I mean, that is an impact player on a football team that can help you for a long time. So in my opinion, you go with a sure thing at Chase Young at two.
I feel like I should know this. Do you love Chase Young? Are you like all in?
Yes.
I'm being dead serious.
Yeah,
you're all in number two?
The reason I smirked at you is because Kuiper keeps on saying you love love. You love Jordan Love. But yes, I think he's the best player in this year's draft.
Almost an unrelated question. I am not asking about Dwayne Haskins, Chase Young per se, but have you seen enough from Dwayne Haskins, separate from all of this, Jeff, to be confident in his abilities to be the cornerstone of a franchise going forward?
I think to Todd's point, he will be an efficient quarterback. I don't know that he ever is a star quarterback. He is good enough to win you football games in the NFL. And so if you've already spent what you spent last year to get this guy to go on and move on, I mean, it would be going through the Tua, unless you felt like Tua's going to come in
right.
And he is going to be the guy, and with the health, and not only from just the hip, but for what's happened in his college career, how much more of an upgrade is this going to be? That's the toss up. And listen, franchises, you can't build on the what ifs. I mean, it's very difficult to do that. So if you know what you have in Haskins and know what you can build into, and if it doesn't work, you can go get a veteran some other time.
All right, you play with Peyton, obviously,
yes.
For a long time. Is there anyone else who could have done that? Like maybe one or two other guys in
correct.
The league?
Correct. Yeah, it's a great point. Yeah.
So if you believe in Tua, but then you have the fact that in the last 10 years, the seven quarterbacks that have come into the league with injuries in college have all been injured in the NFL. It's tough. I mean, this is what everyone's dealing with.
Right. And here's the deal. Right. And you're trying. The crazy part of it is you're trying to protect quarterbacks more than we ever had. And you still have, to your point, when guys have come in injured, they've gotten re-injured. That is a huge risk, because here it doesn't just affect Sundays. It affects the Sundays and then the next year's draft and the next year's draft and where you're trying to pull pieces and parts in. It's very difficult. Availability is the greatest ability. I don't care what anybody, like, guys got to play on Sunday. You can't play 13 games, 12 games, 10 games. Quarterbacks can't do that. You can get away with that at quarterbacks. I mean, you want the guy every Sunday. I want that same guy showing up, right? And I can live with decent, above average. You can win a lot
and
of games.
In the huddle all week,
exactly.
The timing, yeah.
Exactly.
All,
because
way,
everything
of owners,
builds.
Of all owners that would be nervous about that, you'd think it'd be the guy who went through the Robert Griffin III situation.
Right.
Everything is individual, but that would make me a little nervous.
Listen, as promised, Adam Schefter is with us. And Adam, obviously there could be a lot of interest in picks 3 and 4. What do you hear in these early days?
Well, those become two pivotal spots, Wendy, because I think a lot of people will be looking at the Detroit Lions at number 3, at the New York Giants at number 4, and saying that, okay, we want to go get Tua, or we want to go get Justin Herbert, or we want to go get Jordan Love. And let's not wait around and wait until the Dolphins pick at 5, or the Dolphins move up, or let's not wait until the Chargers are on the clock there. Those teams, I think, there could be a motivation to move up in that order. You have the Chargers at 6, the Panthers at 7. And then, of course, you have a situation where if the Giants at 4 move back, or the Lions at 3 move back, they're still going to come away with a blue-chip player, somebody they really like. The Giants could go with any of these offensive linemen. They'll be there whether they're at 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, right? The Lions may not be able to get Jeff Okuda at number 3, but maybe they get somebody like Isaiah Simmons if they move back to 5 or 6. So those teams are in real powerful, strong, influential positions at 3 and 4, and I think that's where the action to this draft has the potential of occurring moving forward.
Teams have from now until March 12th to designate franchise or transition players. The Bengals reportedly plan to tag A.J. Green and want him in Cincinnati next season, whether that's on the tag or a long-term deal. Yannick Ngakoue has made it clear he prefers to play somewhere other than Jacksonville next season, but for now, the Jaguars also plan to use the tag on Ngakoue. As promised, Adam Schefter back with us. And Adam, let's start with Ngakoue and the potential for the franchise tag.
Well, Wendy, let's just lay it out very clearly, right? Yannick Ngakoue says he does not want to nor intend to sign with Jacksonville at all in the future, that his desire is to move on. And obviously, teams don't like to have it dictated to them as to how they're going to handle his business. But Yannick Ngakoue sounds very clear here that he does not plan to sign with Jacksonville. And so he will remain on the sidelines and not sign that franchise tender unless they have a trade agreed to with another team. That leaves Jacksonville in a situation where it looks like it's going to have to try to find a trade partner. We've seen last year trades for Dee Ford, for Frank Clark, for other pass rushers. And Yannick Ngakoue is going to try to force the issue here. So the Jaguars have to use their franchise tag on him because they can't have him walk out the door if they didn't. So they'll franchise him with the idea, if they're willing, to try to trade him. If not, they'll probably have a headache on their hands.
It sounds like. Let's talk about some of the other potential franchisees, Shefty, and we'll start with Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott's in a situation here with the Dallas Cowboys where, again, both sides continue to talk about how they want a long-term deal, but neither side has been able to bridge the differences to make that happen. And as long as that happens, then we don't know, essentially, if they can find a way to get this long-term deal done. And so we wait to see what happens with Dak Prescott at that point in time. But right now, the two sides have not made any notable progress towards a long-term extension. And then as for Hunter Henry, the Chargers tight end, we've got a situation there where the Chargers don't want to lose him. So they're going to continue to try to sign him to a long-term deal. If they can't, they'll use the franchise tag on him and they'll try to keep him. As for Chris Jones, the Chiefs defensive lineman, similar situation to Hunter Henry. They want to re-sign him. If they can't, they'll use the franchise tag on him. They don't want him leaving Kansas City, just like the Chargers don't want Henry leaving the Chargers. So, again, the tag is in play there. For Chris Henry, I would expect them to go up until the deadline. And as for Shaq Barrett, the Tampa Bay defensive end, it's a situation where he's one of the top pass rushers on the market. Wendy, pass rushers are at a premium, and teams don't want them to hit the market. And so Tampa Bay is going to try to sign Shaq Barrett in the next 10 or so days. If they can't get it done, they'll use the franchise tag on him, not Jameis Winston.
Adam, thank you. We'll be back with you in just a minute. And Jeff, let's start with you in terms of what you're hearing regarding the Bucs' plans at quarterback, specifically Jameis Winston.
Well, there's no more honest head coach in the NFL than Bruce Arians, first of all. So when he said at the combine that they want to see what's behind door number two, that's honest truth right there. And that is what the Bucs want to explore. Now, the problem with that is it requires the domino of Tom Brady to fall before you really see what's available. And Tom Brady also being in the mix, of course, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the one thing I'll say is that speaking with people in that organization, they do say that ownership is very patient. It's a very patient group. So they could take this another week or so, another week and a half, look at where the landscape is, try to wait as long as possible, maybe even see if something goes down with Brady before they then look at the landscape and decide whether Jameis is the right fit. But I'll point out, it feels much more like Jameis Winston is an option to the Bucs, not the answer at this point. They are viewing him almost as if he's a member of the field, not any really any
not,
higher
not your
than
franchise,
anybody else.
Yeah, not your franchise,
I mean, and you have to understand at least why that is, although there's certainly the upside because there's some wow moments.
No doubt.
Sure.
Yes,
Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it, just the questions that go in your mind are, the guy can throws for 5,000 yards this past year. He's thrown for over 4,000 a couple years early in his career. So it's not like he hasn't produced, right? He has production. The interceptions last year are extremely concerning. You're talking about 30 in a season. How long can you wait on him? I mean, at some point, your career has to move in a different direction. You don't want to see guys throwing this many interceptions at this point in his career. His upside, in my opinion, is still there. And so from an organizational perspective, Tom Brady, you're making an upgrade. But you have to have a substantial upgrade, in my opinion, at quarterback, or you go back with Jameis. I mean,
that's tricky, too, because of timing.
Exactly, because you know what you have in the room. And whether you love it or hate it, at least you know what you have. To go on to someone else who you may see as an equal to Jameis Winston is a very difficult. So a Tom Brady coming in, you know you're significantly upgrading. But with
Teddy Bridgewater, where are we? Is that equality, or is that a step up?
What happens if Tom Brady goes to the Titans, for instance, and then all of a sudden Ryan Tannehill springs free? Is that an upgrade over Jameis? And you don't have those answers really
but
you before.
You sure better have a read on each quarterback so you're prepared.
For sure.
That you're going to have to do.
But that's why the whole Tom Brady domino is so important to the landscape across the league, because the other thing is, like, the franchise tag for a quarterback is not cheap. We're talking about $27 million.
Right.
And then even the other tag is $24 million. So the Bucs have to look at this and say, like, do we want to put the tag on Jameis and deal with what we know, or do we want to take the chance of losing Jameis and potentially not getting the
and let me say this about the Bucs offense and what they're looking. They are Bruce Arians, BA, is a high-risk type coach, right? So love him, you know, like you said, he's as honest as it gets. His quarterback has to make some spectacular throws down the field at times and take pressure, stay in the pocket. There are things required at that position and the way that BA runs their offense that doesn't fit everyone, right? Like, you have to have strength to get the ball down the field. You have to have those kind of things. So as you're looking at the team, they have incredible weapons outside, right? From a receiver perspective, you're good. You know, from a tight end. So you are a good, decent offensive line. Not great, but they're good. And so as you're looking at good defense, so there's a lot of positives. Yeah. But as a quarterback, there are certain qualities that BA is going to look for. And so you have to find out arm strength, you know, ability to stay in the pocket and bear down and let the ball go. All of those things are going to come into the equation. So as big as we think the landscape is for quarterbacks, there's only a couple that really fit that mold for Tampa. Bridgewater being, that's the question.
That's what's weird is that Jameis.
It's a question.
Jameis feels like such like a tweener. Like, it's so hard. It almost feels like he's like right in the middle of the road to where it's tough to decide who's better and who's worse.
But we've been there for quite some time.
Sure.
And we haven't crossed over.
And when Bruce says, you know, we want to see what's behind it, that should tell you.
That's the answer.
That should tell you when you're the quarterback of an organization for this many years.
After four years.
And they say, we want to see what's back there.
It's tough, though. The devil you know sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't know it, but Tom Brady isn't the only folks looking for a new place to play. Dak Prescott led the Cowboys to 40 wins in four seasons. That is 118 combined passing and rushing touchdowns, tied for second most in the first four of his career. Former number one overall pick, we talked about it. Jameis Winston, 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions in a single season. And after 16 seasons with the Chargers, Phillip Rivers will be on the move. His 123 wins, the most in Chargers history. Adam Schefter with us now. And Adam, again, we'll do this often until we have a decision. But where are things at the moment with Tom Brady?
Well, Wendy, it's March 3rd. And the fact that it's March 3rd and we still don't know where Tom Brady will be in 2020 is a headline enough for right now. It's amazing to think that there's no more clarity with New England at this point in time. And these other teams are waiting to speak with Tom Brady. And there will be multiple suitors for his talents in the 2020 season. The question is, what will Tom Brady want in return, and which of these teams will be able to persuade him to come to that particular team? There are a whole bevy of teams that could be in the quarterback market. We've heard the names mentioned before. We've heard the Raiders. We've heard the Chargers. We've heard the Titans. And then you look at some other teams, like the Buccaneers that are out there, that could be in the quarterback market, depending on what happens with Jameis Winston. And so, again, I don't think Tom Brady knows right now about where he's going to be signing in less than 2 weeks. The Patriots don't know who will be playing quarterback for them in less than 2 weeks. And, again, we have the greatest quarterback of all time living in a state of uncertainty. And I think that right now is what makes the next few weeks so interesting and intriguing.
The best part of that, too, is the Wolverine's helmet in the background.
Yeah, it's right there. Right. Just strategically placed. Listen, Adam makes a good point in that it's headline enough that we don't know, okay?
Yeah.
Because let's be clear, we don't know. And I also thought, and as you saw in our Insider Blueprint, if you think of this game as a musical chairs, this is one of those years where we could have somebody without a chair in terms of veteran quarterbacks. Tom Brady won't be among those guys. But it really is interesting, the supply and the demand that we're talking about.
Right.
So, again, the ripple effect that we'll see, and we will see it when there's a decision. Let's start with Tom Brady.
It is fascinating because, quite frankly, Adam Schefter hits the nail on the head that he does not know right now where he's going to play, and he's throwing a very wide net. So we could really play this game with a lot of teams, but for right now, I'm going to go ahead and stick with a team that makes the most sense, and that is the Titans.
Mm.
It makes sense if they have Derrick Henry, first of all, that becomes a much more intriguing option than if they don't. But this is a guy who could come in there with Mike Vrabel on an offense that needs just this little much more to get over the hump. I'm sure Ryan Tannehill thinks he could be that guy as well. But with the Mike Vrabel relationship, this is a situation that does beg for our attention.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think as you look at the Titans, you think about they have a good, Conklin's going to leave. Obviously, their tackle, their right tackle, he's going to leave and go elsewhere. Gives you a relationship. But if you keep Derrick Henry, I think it makes sense. I think they have he'll have good receivers on the outside, good tight end. I'm going to move up one spot right here.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I know the biggest issue here is Jimmy G. How do you,
like he's taunting him.
That, yeah, it's a haunting.
But this guy leave
me alone. It's a haunting. But, yeah, but if you
it's
talk
like you
about
and me.
What Lynch could do, the general manager out in San Francisco, what he could do with Jimmy G, but Tom Brady, that team is ready to win now. And if you look at the Shanahan system and the way that he runs his football team, very good defense, they're run oriented, they're structured. Play actions is going to be solid, and they have won with an older quarterback. You think about Mike Shanahan years ago winning with John Elway the last 2 years of his career. It just makes sense.
He would be going to his hometown.
Yes.
But here's the thing. If the 49ers got bounced in like the first round of the playoffs, I don't even think we would just go ahead and mail this in. We wouldn't even be playing.
You mean last year? Right.
It would have made makes so much sense. If Jimmy didn't take them all the way up until the final minutes of the Super Bowl,
right.
It would be a very tough sell, but I'm with you right now. Do not close the book on this. I still think it could also happen.
There's just too many reasons why not. So again, we talk about the ripple effect. He goes to the Titans, then we have Ryan Tannehill displaced. He goes to the 49ers, you got Jimmy G displaced. Either way, you got a quarterback question in New England. Yeah. So if he should go anywhere other than Foxborough, what did the Patriots do in the draft? Do they look at a quarterback position?
Yeah, they do, but it's Andy Dalton probably. Mm. It's a veteran, in my opinion. This quarterback class is four deep in the first round. Maybe later they'll bring in a veteran. You know, Jarrett Stidham, they didn't love what he showed last year during the season. Came in, they were up by like, 50 through an interception, and Brady had to come back into the game. But the bottom line is this. I think they want a veteran, and then I think what they do after that is maybe in the third, fourth, fifth round, take a quarterback, because it's Joe Burrow, it's Tua Tagovailoa, it's the four quarterbacks we've talked about, Jordan Love, and then Justin Herbert. So after that, there's such a drop-off. Mm-hmm. And I don't envision Bill Belichick making the decision to pull the trigger on a quarterback in this first round if it's not one of those four.
Not with Tom Brady going to
a history for sure.
Right.
And not with Tom Brady going to another team where it's going to be who does better without the other one. He's not rolling the dice on a rookie.
And let's be clear, that is absolutely a factor. Okay. So that's Brady. But listen, there's Ryan Tannehill. Again, free agent quarterback.
Right.
Is Tennessee all in? Forget Brady for a minute. What happens here?
Of course this makes sense if Ryan stays with the Titans. But if Tom Brady goes to the Titans, what if we just flip-flop it? What if we just throw this up
maybe
here?
Maybe let's
there
you go.
And Ryan Tannehill ends up with the Patriots. And I would just point out that Tannehill is a guy who is the ultimate soldier. Like,
we
think about Tom Brady over the last 20 years. One of the things that has made him so special is he's a guy that works so hard and is such a soldier for his coach. I think that Tannehill actually has these qualities and would fit into that culture that the Patriots have quite well. He is not afraid of hard work. And honestly, what we saw in Tennessee last year,
I
think he has the entire skill set.
It's just about staying healthy.
That's exactly right.
You watch this past season, the numbers he put up, the efficiency.
Yes.
Tannehill can do it. It's just, can we keep him on the field?
And let's say this right here. Here's the other. We talked about them just a minute ago. Let me see if I can find them here. There we go.
Okay, so no Jameis.
No Jameis, same, very similar, right, to what he just had in Tennessee, right? He's going to have really good core on offense, got a decent offensive line. He is a locker room guy. I mean, this guy, people want to play for him. You heard Derrick Henry. Why is he not my guy? I mean, he talked about Tannehill when they were asking him to compare Brady and Tannehill. Because he brings such confidence to the locker room and the way that he conducts himself. You know, AKA, not exactly the same as a Nick Foles, but guys want to play with you, right? Like they want to play for you. That matters. And in a situation where the Buccaneers are moving on from a guy who in their locker room, to bring a vet like that in, I think would make sense.
And by the way, I believe Derrick Henry. You know, we talked about smoke screens and subterfuge and all that. When he said that about Ryan Tannehill, he's telling the truth. And I don't think he's alone inside that locker room. Right. Now, listen, I referenced the game of musical chairs and maybe somebody being left out. I do wonder if, in fact, and it's no disrespect because he's been a tremendous quarterback, will that be Phillip Rivers if he wants to continue to be a starting quarterback?
I think he has the least amount of options. Like, Tom Brady is going to have a bunch of suitors.
He won't be the one.
Like, legitimately, there are teams that are like, we want him, not tepid interest. With Phillip, it'll be interesting because it feels right now that we can all talk about the trending, and I'm going to have to go all the way up because we're the Colts.
There you go.
The Colts are a team right now that feels like the easiest connection with Phillip Rivers. Beyond that, I don't know what the obvious spot
is. Why?
Here's your deal with he played with Frank for
Colts. I'm saying why
not somewhere else?
Yeah.
To your point,
why wouldn't he have a huge market for a couple of years? If you're talking about Brady, then why not?
We're talking about Tom Brady and Phillip.
No, I understand.
But
have you really gone like the last 2 years?
I'm a big Phillip Rivers guy.
Okay.
For sure.
Gotcha.
I really truly am. But I would just say like a team like Tampa, for instance, if they're looking at Tom Brady or Phillip Rivers, like does Phillip Rivers not feel like a little bit of a similar version of Jameis Winston? Like that's the thing that they're trying to get away from right now. I'm not trying to speak from a place of, I don't know. I know that Tom Brady's market is flush. I don't know that I feel the same way about Phillip Rivers right now, but that could be, I just might not know enough about
Colts
the market.
Feels like a done deal.
Feels like that works.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Todd. Regardless, if Phillip Rivers ends up at quarterback, you could still look deeper in the draft for a quarterback, or are they looking early on in Indy?
Well, it's interesting because you got, obviously, one overall, you got the Bengals, and we all think Burrow's going to go there. After that, Washington's not going to draft a quarterback this year. I'm pretty convinced of that. At 3-4, Detroit and the Giants could be moving out of that spot. Is it Tua Tagovailoa? You would think if he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the Chargers at 6, the Panthers at 7, and then you get to 12, 13, 14, the Raiders, who's at 13? The Colts is at 13, and the Buccaneers are at 14. So now you're talking about a whole lot of teams in the first half of the first round that need quarterbacks and are desperate to go get their guy. And there are some of those teams, including the Dolphins, that have a bunch of picks to go up and go get the quarterback that they want. We'll see. I mean, that to me, we talk about free agency. Where do people wind up? And then after that, it's going to be a free-for-all. It's going to be the most fun first round of the draft that I can remember because it's a complete mess.
leave it to Las Vegas. It'll fit in just fine. 9 different quarterbacks, by the way, have started a Super Bowl after starting in free agency, and 6 have won a title most recently. The aforementioned Nick Foles. Peyton Manning did it too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you know that. So take a look. Utah State's Jordan Love, despite leading all D1 passers with 17 interceptions last season, continues to rise among our analyst boards. After not making his previous mock draft, Todd has him bumped all the way up to the 6th overall pick, which is owned by the Chargers. And then Justin Herbert falls out of the top 10 to the Colts at number 13 overall. Todd, again, Jordan Love, not in your previous mock draft. That was 2.0. He is now at number 6. Why is that?
Well, first of all, Mel, did you find your Venmo account? Or your checkbook? What do we got?
I think checkbook with you.
Checkbook?
Mel. Yeah.
All right. Why Jordan Love? Because I love, apparently. I think he's quick. I think he's able to get in and out of his reads quickly. I think he's able to throw off platform and able to change his arm angles. And I see the 17 interceptions. I understand. And yes, he made mistakes and he forced the issue last year. He lost 9 starters from 2018 to 2019. He lost his coaching staff from 2018 to 2019. This guy is going to be developed properly if he's in the right hands. And I think he has a chance to be one of the top tier quarterbacks in the league 2 or 3 years down the road. It may not be next year. And Herbert may be better early on in his career, but just be patient with it.
All right, Mel, your turn.
Mel.
I just want to cut through all this noise, Todd. Let's face facts. You heard it from somebody that Love could go to the Chargers. You jumped them up there for that reason. We all know this is a mock draft, and it's based on what you're hearing. So that's what you're supposed to do. You finally get
You've been
the
working on this theory
a
for a while.
Is. I've tried to convince you that this is a mock draft, not a ratings board. So you did that well. And, hey, I'm never going to say never. Mayfield jumped all the way to 1. Kyler Murray went to 1. Burrow came out of nowhere to go to 1. So, hey, if you like Love and you like Herbert, you have to decide. You saw them both Senior Bowl week. They were right down there in Mobile. They played in a game. So you saw them right there for all those days together, okay? So I think you probably have a pretty good handle if you're Miami or the Chargers. The question is going to be, the Chargers, do they jump ahead of Miami? How do they feel about Tua? If these teams have a strong conviction about Tua over Herbert and Love, then they make the move to get Tua. Then do they like Herbert or Love? That determines whether where they go. So I think it's going to be, as you said, very interesting to see all this movement, what takes place to affect where these two quarterbacks, Herbert and Love, may land in the top 10 of the first round.
Why do you love Herbert so much?
I don't. Because of the fact I said, I don't really know what he's going to be. I think the combine and Senior Bowl week, Senior Bowl game, made you feel like getting away from Oregon, maybe it's all going to come together for him. There was something missing at Oregon. There's no doubt about that. But on talent, on intelligence, on his professionalism, all those things, he gets grade A. It just was that we were looking for greatness, Todd, and we didn't always see it. The expectations were through the roof. We said, okay, what's the deal here? Why haven't he had that consistency and been the kind of quarterback we thought he could be? But with all that said, you're saying Jordan Love is all of a sudden better than Herbert.
I'm saying it's a long process, Mel.
I understand that. I'm saying you throw this year out, you go back to 2 years ago when he had talent around him, and you say, I'm going to roll the dice on a kid who has the height, he has the arm strength, he has the football acumen, and we can bring it all together. So I don't have a problem with what you did there, Todd, because it's based on what you're hearing.
Thank you.
I just think when you look at Herbert, he is that enigma that could be spectacular, he could be decent to good, but I think he's going to go within the top six picks,
see
not down in the middle of the first
round.
See what
happens, Wendy, when you shut down his mic for a little bit? He comes in hot.
He's got a lot of words. Yeah. He's been storing them up. Let me ask you both the same question, and we'll let Todd go first, Mel, just because he's here.
Sure.
Listen, can we see three quarterbacks in the top 10? Is it conceivable?
Yeah, I think it's conceivable. I absolutely do. I think you look at the teams that need quarterbacks, and obviously the Bengals at number one. Miami, according to what I've heard, they really like Joe Burrow. They would love to move up to get him. Can they do that? I don't think so. And Detroit, would they go quarterback? I don't think so. I think the Giants would love to move out. Detroit is probably another team that would move out. But at 5-6 with the Chargers, 7 with the Panthers, those teams need quarterbacks potentially, depending on how free agency works. And then we talked about 12, 13, and 14. So you're talking about basically half of the first half of the first round needing quarterbacks at this point. And we've got two that I think that we're all in love with Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa. And then after that, whether you like Herbert or you love Mel, those are the other two guys. And after that, there's a big drop-off.
Yeah, I think four could go in the top 10. We see. If you think about Herbert and Love, you think about E.J. Manuel, think about Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder, Jake Locker.
Not a great list.
But they all went. Right. They all went. And now we're saying, will Herbert and Love go? Sure they could. I think Herbert will. You think Love will. So that's four within the first, say, 8, 9, 10 picks with some trades impacting this as well. So, yeah, I think four, to answer Wendy's question, four could go now. And that may be it for the first round. That may be it. Yep. You may not have another one until the second round when Jacob Eason comes off the board coming out of Washington.
Oh, viva Las Vegas, gentlemen. We're just getting warmed up. Thank you. Around this time last year, remember, Antonio Brown was traded to the Raiders for a 3rd and 5th round pick. He never played a game, but what an offseason it was. Frank Clark traded to the Chiefs. That was just before the draft. Clark went on to record 5 sacks in their 3 postseason games en route to hosting the Lombardi Trophy. And the big one, Odell Beckham Jr. traded to the Browns after weeks before GM Dave Gettleman said, we didn't sign Odell just to trade him. Nevertheless, they signed him and traded him.
Let's go.
Let's go already, all right?
We talk about
trades in the draft. Let's talk about trades otherwise, because they can happen any way you look at it. The percent chances, okay? I'm not doing this, am I?
You guys don't want me doing it.
Oh, all right, look at me go. All right, Nick Foles, the chances he'll be traded. You'd go first, and then we'll have the other Jeff.
That's where we need McShay over here helping us out.
There you go.
You want me to do it first?
Yeah, you're right.
All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to say 25%. And okay. I think that's a reasonable chance. That suggests that they're open to it, right? But I'll say this. They're not actively shopping it. I've spoken to some sources in Jacksonville, and I can tell you they're not actively shopping Nick Foles right now. They certainly aren't going to. They have a pretty manageable deal, about $15 million a year for the next 2 years. They feel like they can afford both Foles and Minshew, who's on basically a free deal at this point for them. and find out what they have exactly. So they're not overly motivated to trade him. I don't see it happen in the first wave, but I could see after all the dominoes fall, say a team like Chicago feels like they just don't have what they need, I could see Chicago stepping up, offering enough to incentivize them. But at this point, I just don't see it happening.
Is Minshew still on that RV?
He's still cruising. You know what? I'm going to go 30%. And for the same reason,
rock the boat.
Well, you know, I was going to go 26, and I felt like, you know, I might as well go 30. I'm on the same page with Jeff, though. And in reality, we just talked about how full the market is of quarterbacks. So it's not that Foles is going to command that much for the Jaguars because there's so many other options out there. Where he does become viable in a trade is once teams get into camp, season, all of a sudden, hey, we have a desperate need. This is not going to happen quickly. This is something that will happen later.
I don't think it's going to happen now, but it could happen.
It could happen. Correct.
Listen, this new regime.
Yeah, let's go. You want to start this one or you want me to start this one?
Yeah, we'll go. This has got to be.
Yeah, we're going to go.
Oh, well, not just in play, but probable.
80%.
They call
80%.
That probable.
I'm going 80% here. Like you said, the new regime in and as talented as he is in 2 years moving on from two teams, this is going to require a football team that has a veteran locker room or at least a strong locker room and staff that can absorb a player like OBJ, who is going to command a ton of attention, you know, kind of the atmosphere that comes around him. So, and he's going to be one of those guys that quarterbacks love to have because of his talent. But in a locker room, you have to make sure that you have a stable group of guys in that room.
That means 8 out of 10 times. 8 out of 10.
I said 8 out of 10. I wasn't confused.
I didn't know that.
I appreciate
that. Tar Heel
that,
education.
We're a couple like-minded gentlemen.
Look at that.
You know, not only do we share a name, we also share a percentile choice.
Yes.
When it comes to Odell Beckham Jr. getting traded. What does that mean? But look, here's the deal here. What I'm most intrigued about seeing when it comes to Odell is where Tom Brady ends up
in
the agency. I could see a reunion between Tom Brady, or not a reunion, I could see a marriage.
Did I miss it?
Between Tom Brady and Odell Beckham Jr., where Brady ends up. You know, we hear the chatter about Antonio Brown, and certainly there is truth to that, no doubt about it. I'm curious to see what would happen if Tom goes to a place and could convince that team to make a trade for Odell Beckham.
And here's what, again,
I do not think that we should discuss.
And this
that.
Goes back into my point exactly. You're going to a team where a guy like Tom Brady, the leadership ability he has, commands that this is, when we're between these lines, this is how we're going to, when we're outside of our locker room, here's how we're going to act, because we don't need distractions. We want to win now. Because don't you, again, we talked about it earlier in the show. Tom Brady wants to go win. And if he's not with the Patriots, Bill Belichick wants to go win separate from each other. So you can't have a lot of nonsense going on. Distractions will be at a minimum with a guy like Tom Brady because of the expectation and the urgency of winning now. That's why a guy like that would fit.
I would have actually thought this would have been one of those things that could have gotten Tom
done to stay in New England.
I don't anticipate it happening.
Wait, we're gonna keep going here.
Oh, okay.
Not to David Johnson?
You don't want
to
see, I was going 100%. No? Oh,
there we go.
That is an interesting one.
Yeah,
we don't want to skip that one at all. And here's the deal. Look, this is, let's say 60%. I understand that Trent Williams is wishy-washy on whether he wants to stay. Seems like he wants a long-term deal if he's going to play. I don't anticipate Ron Rivera doing it. Based on my conversations, Rivera feels like he offered up the olive branch, that they met, they got along well. Rivera wants him to play for him, but I don't also see Rivera extending himself so much to where he signs him to a big long-term deal. I think that he will be willing to listen to offers from Trent Williams, but at this point I'm told they have not received any calls.
I'm saying, if I'm Ron, I'm saying there is 10% or less that he goes anyway. I'm not giving up. I'm not, and especially, we're just sitting here having a conversation that we might bring Tua in, right? I mean, we're going to go, I get he's a left-handed, but at the end of the day, you need tackles in this game. He is an excellent tackle.
Only if you feel like he's going to play for you, though.
Yeah, you have to get him.
But it's a clean slate in terms of a new head coach.
That's right.
Staff,
sure.
And so that can make a difference.
But the point being that Rivera felt like he had that conversation with him, and Trent is talking about essentially not playing for him.
So. Yeah. We got some ground to cover before that's settled. The Packers added both Preston and Za'Darius Smith through free agency to bolster their defense last season. And you know what? It worked. They held opposing QBs to the fourth lowest QBR in the league. The 49ers added Nick Bosa with the number 2 pick in last year's draft. He registered the second most pressures in the league. And speaking of the Super Bowl, the Chiefs signed Tyrann Mathieu in the offseason, and their defense turnaround helped propel them to the victory over the 49ers in the Super Bowl. So let me tell you, a piece or two can make a difference. So for some teams, just a free agent or a draft pick away from the Super Bowl today is Super Tuesday. Many states holding their primary elections, which brings us to Super Bowl Tuesday. We've always got some, we got some candidates here.
Oh, yeah.
One pick, one free agent signing, one draft pick away.
No tie.
From being
for the people.
Contention. Are you guys there?
Little Jeff
over
the people. No tie.
Nothing says
very laid back.
People, like Jeff Saturday, longtime NFL player.
I've got a very punchable face, though.
And then there's Jeff Darlington. You do say man of the people. So that's good. All right. Which teams are one piece or two pieces, a draft pick or a free agent away from becoming Super Bowl contenders? It's a debate. So you go, then you go, and Adam Schefter is going to be the judge. Okay, go.
Well, Wendy, I would just like to point out that this is a team that was on the cusp already in the Baltimore Ravens, but they just weren't going to get there. They weren't a playoff-type team, even though they knocked on the door. And this year, despite the fact that they have the 28th overall pick and they're 22nd most in cap space, they don't need much to get there. They could draft a wide receiver, and I'd like to call in my constituent, Todd McShay.
Because every smart
candidate has somebody at his back.
There's a wide receiver from Arizona State named Ayuk.
Ayuk.
He averaged 18 yards per catch, 16 per punt.
He averaged
and
18 yards per catch and a couple other stats that Todd delivered. Todd McShay has promised me that he can get Brandon Ayuk on that squad for 2020. He can make the deal. Also,
he promised.
You go acquire a pass rusher in free agency, maybe even Jadeveon Clowney. Maybe you get Armstead. Whatever the case, you get yourself a top-tier pass rusher, and you get yourself a wide receiver. Thank you, Todd McShay, for making that deal happen. And you've got yourself a Super Bowl contender.
Like most.
Wait.
Like most.
I'm the moderator.
Okay.
Mr. Saturday.
Can I rebuke?
Yeah.
I would love to say, like most candidates, he's spending money he doesn't have. So $25 million, we're going to get Jadeveon Clowney? Good luck. How about that, right? If I'm his agent, I won't even answer your call anymore. Let's move to a better team and a better opportunity. Let's move to the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Star on the helmet. America's team. That's what we're about. We're about America's team, right? Fifth most cap space. Almost $80 million. So we have the money. Jerry ain't afraid to spend it. That's what we're about. 17th pick. What do we need? We need Dak to stay, which will happen. We're going to pay some of that $79 million to our man Dak. Then what are we going to do? We're going to sign Cooper. We have to have our receiver. He's going to make plays for us. He's going to take care of business. We're going to sign him to a long-term deal. We should have done it 2 years ago. That was on Jerry. We made a little mistake. However, we're going to fix that mistake by paying him, keeping him happy. We got a great running back, great offensive line.
What are you changing?
What kind of help do we need? We need a new staff. Why? Because when we needed to run the ball last year, we didn't run it. We've made the change. We got our man, Mike. Mike will solve all of our problems on offense.
But Mr.
Mike
Saturday, McCarthy's going to help us. The question was a draft pick or a free agent.
We're going Cooper first in the free agency.
A lot of talk.
And then we're going to draft
words,
a DB.
Words.
We're going Xavier McKinney from Alabama.
Oh, he's got to check
we're going to put him in the back. We're going to set him back there. Or we can go D-line. You know I'm always about athletes in space. That's exactly right. You heard the shout out.
Okay.
Can't pronounce that name, but that's where we're going.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Saturday. I'm not sure what the point was. Nevertheless, I'm sure you had one.
I don't think you did.
Do you have another candidate?
America's team. That's all you got to know.
America's team.
I'm going to need my producer to get in my ear for this one because I don't remember. Houston Texans.
You guys are typical candidates, all right.
Thank goodness for technology these days. The Houston Texans are a team that is on the cusp of a championship. They have the ninth most cap space in 2020, $64 million. This is a team that can get there. Bill O'Brien can make this team tick. I believe that he is, what is that producer? Bradbury. That's the guy. That's the guy we need. We need Bradbury in the building.
I'm almost embarrassed for my
James
brother Jeff.
James Bradbury, Jeff.
I'm just going to show you. Where's my camera? Where's my camera?
Why are we showing James Winston?
Because
Bradbury is the guy that can change that. We know that this Texans team is on the cusp of a championship. They don't need me to come in there and help them.
They don't need you.
But you put Bradbury in there.
You are so bad.
They don't own a first round pick.
I'm going to take my earpiece. I don't need the producer.
I'm going to tell you what I know. Who was really, really close? The Green Bay Packers. Our defense, we just talked about. We got the Smith brothers. They took care of business last year on the defensive side. All we need are receivers. We're going to go find one. We're going to go pick one up. We're going to go try to find Emmanuel Sanders, who we think we can get on a good buy, a good value there, and then we're going to draft. So we're going to add two to Devontae Adams so that now we can give Aaron Rodgers all the help we can get. That was 10 years ago. Things have changed. However, we are ready to play as Green Bay Packers. How about them Cowboys? Them Packers.
Hey, gentlemen. I use that term incredibly loosely. Anyway, Pat, luckily here, we employ a debate analyst who wears many hats. And I'm going to ask you, Shefty, to choose from bad or worse. Who is your candidate here one piece away?
Well, Wendy, in the spirit of the political season, we have a debate here between a millionaire and a non-millionaire, right? Somebody who's made a lot of money and somebody who hasn't made as much money as the guy who's made a lot of money. And in this particular case, the guy who made a lot of money picked one team that didn't go to the playoffs. That was the only team that I heard that didn't go to the playoffs last season. How ambitious is it of both these particular candidates to go with teams that went to the playoffs last year? Not very ambitious at all. And therefore, I'm going to go with the millionaire candidate who picked the Dallas Cowboys, who didn't go to the postseason last year, who were on the brink of it, who made the coaching change. And there's a reason that Jeff Saturday's made a fortune doing what he's doing. There is the evidence of it, and I'm going to crown him the winner of this debate.
That's what I'm talking about, Shefty.
Let the record show he did not make his fortune debating. That is imminently clear.
I would like to concede and support Jeff Saturday.
Well done.
His candidacy.
We did see some major change in Todd's mock draft after the combine, which was last week. Jordan Love jumps to number 6 overall after being unranked previously. Georgia running back DeAndre Swift and Alabama wide receiver Henry Ruggs, the 3rd, both did enough to make it into the top 15 after a successful combine performance. So with that, we say welcome back, Todd.
Hi.
Let's talk risers, because that's after the combine is the inevitable sort of up or down movement. So who rose?
Well, let's start with Jordan Love, the quarterback from Utah State. Kuiper, you messed with the bull. You're getting the horns right now.
Screaming at the television somewhere.
Put him up at number 6, giving him the Chargers as a 3rd quarterback ahead of Justin Herbert from Oregon. This guy, he just needs a little seasoning. He needs some development, but he can make creative throws. He extends plays. He's a really good athlete. If he can cut down on those 17 interceptions from a year ago when he had 9 new starters on offense, we're going to be in really good shape, Wendy. Don't sweat it, okay? Justin Jefferson, wide receiver from LSU. You watch the tape. What I love about him is the fact that he makes contested catches. I thought he was going to run like a 4.55. He ran a 4.43 in the 40-yard dash, and wide receiver and corner are the only positions I'm going to move a guy up based solely off of a 40-yard dash, and that's what happened with Jefferson. I have him going 21 to the Eagles. Next, DeAndre Swift. I love this dude. There are a lot of good running backs in this year's draft class. J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State's another one. You've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU, but Swift is the most explosive and the most complete of the group. He will protect, he can catch out of the backfield, and he's so dynamic in terms of running the football, and you saw it with his workout there with the 4.48. I had him going the Bucks at 14. Then, 24, Saints. Brandon Ayuk. Tried to give him the Ravens, Jeff Darlington, a couple minutes ago, but Brandon Ayuk is going to go somewhere in the first round. As I told him, I whispered in his ear, I'm not sure if he heard, 18 yards per catch, 14 per punt return, and 34 per kick return. He ran a 4.50, but the lower body explosion was seen there with the 42-inch vertical. And then finally, Henry Ruggs. I've never been more disappointed by a 4.27 40-yard dash in my life.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, everyone thought he was going to run somewhere in the 4.1s, low 4.2s. He is so explosive. I'm joking. He plays special teams, and there's 4 receivers in that wide receiver room every day. There are going to be first or second round draft picks in this year and next year's draft, and he is the alpha dog. That's what I love about him. Mm. He loves covering kicks. He loves to block. He had 1 dropped pass the entire season last year. Wow. And then he gives you the vertical aspect because of that 4.27 speed. He's got a chance to be the 2nd, at worst, the 3rd wide receiver off the board this year.
What's the comp, Jeff, when you look at guys out there in the league who've had success on Isaiah Simmons?
Oh, I mean, Isaiah Simmons, I think, is very similar to – he did in college what Troy Polamalu did in the NFL, right? You see him move kind of all around the field and do a number of different things. So when you see a guy who puts numbers this fast at this size, it's just absolutely incredible.
6'3.5", almost 240 pounds. He ran a 4.39, and here you see the versatility.
Incredible. And watch him right here. He's in the A-gap. We see teams do this all the way, right? His eyes are on the quarterback. He has the length to knock it down. If he tries to throw it, what's he going to do? Quarterback pulls it down. With everybody move or trying to move to athletic quarterbacks, that position is absolutely vital. Here he's in the middle of the field. Look how far he is. He reads the eyes against Ohio State, breaks on the ball. I mean, and watch him. We'll see another little clip of him, just a solo shot. Watch him. He just hawks this thing down. Again, he played at the line of scrimmage the last play. Now he's 25 yards. Now where's he going to be? He's going to be right in the middle. He's 6 yards deep. Quarterback doesn't know what he's going to do. He brings six. He's going to pick up five. He closes the space so quickly. He creates a sack, gets his stuff down. And now this is just, I love this play.
Sorry,
right?
Running back.
On the edge. Running back, so he's green dogging, right? He has this running back in coverage. Instead, he sees he's blocking, runs him over. I mean, inside, just that's what you call getting thrown out the club.
I can't believe
thrown out the club. You know what I mean? But it's the what I like about the versatility is he's done so many. If he can apply that in the NFL, which we don't know, but if he can, and with all the tools that he has, this is a dynamic player that not many guys can move with the size, strength, and speed can move to all those different positions. That's a pretty remarkable feat.
I heard someone report that a defensive coordinator complained that, well, he's so versatile, he doesn't really have
–
really?
Yeah, for real?
Fly down to Clemson. Yeah. Sit with Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator, and figure out what he did, because what he did made
That's
him
right.
special. And the skill set that he has makes you so multiple. Why do you not love this guy?
All right, all right, all right. Happy birthday, Michael Thomas.
Happy birthday.
Seven. Yeah. Things are looking up. I think you got a future, my friend. Let's take a look. Some of the best at Can't Guard, Mike. 2019, week 15 against the Colts. Thomas, easy looking one-handed grab with, how about just, I don't know, three defenders coming toward him?
Snatches it out of the air, coming across,
you know,
a little drag, runs
Never
by the line.
Never mind you.
Got it.
I'll easy. Take it.
Easy.
Oh,
all
that's
right.
Unbelievable.
Back to 2018 is week 9 against the Rams, the Joe Horn celebration. Here's Michael Thomas.
Love this ode to the pass.
Yep, takes the pass and Breeze, a 72-yard touchdown. That seals the deal, by the way. And then he, remember this, whips out the cell.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Joe Horn.
My day. Call him up.
Call him up. At least it's not a payphone.
With the flip phone, too.
With the flip phone. That's very apropos. He wasn't around for that at 27. Week 16. Against the Titans, records are meant to be broken. The single-season receiving record previously held by Marvin Harrison. What an incredible season.
What a nasty route. Here's the thing. He is their receiver. I mean, like, if you're defending him, let's line up and just cover Mike, because can't one guy guard him?
Yeah, because we got – what do you get Michael Thomas for his birthday?
When do you think
what do you get him?
Yeah, what do you get him?
I mean, you can't get him anything.
Well, you get – I mean, I don't know.
Got nothing.